Welcome, everybody, to the Some Ordinary Podcast.
Oh, you're going to start us off like that,
huh? Say something.
Somebody say something.
All right, well, something. How's it going, everybody? We've got CoffeeZilla on over here. Coffee, I'm just going to rip it right on. Did you find another influencer to, like, expose in the last couple days? I've been following.
Well, with the help of my trusty sidekick, he's the Jesse Pinkman of the situation.
SpongeBob.
Okay. Yeah, we were cooking up a scheme about trying to trick an influencer into promoting some like NFT / shitcoin, and we found this guy Dylan Danis who has like 2 points of IQ. I don't know.
Low IQ.
And we ended up tricking him into not only promoting it, our project, but this wasn't like as widely seen because we announced this later after the tweet went viral. We got him to sign a document saying the whole plan, like we were like in the document, it's like, hey, you're going to be the butt of the joke. Mm-hmm. You have this whole thing is about making fun of you. This, like, these NFTs are fake. And he signed it. I do not understand.
Dude, no one reads.
You guys have went from like,
he didn't read it. For one, he didn't even open
it. I'm gonna have to defend this Dylan guy. You guys literally, you went from like going after, you know, Logan Paul for doing some of the most anus activities to literally bullying, mentally
cyberbullying,
literally cyberbullying the mentally like handicapped.
What are you talking about cyberbullying?
He couldn't read. What the fuck? That's hilarious.
Dude.
No way. I cannot believe.
God.
There's no way. Like, okay, it's funny to me because I remember like the earliest days of like YouTubing, right? Like when they had those MCNs and they came in and sent you these like 40-page contracts. You guys remember that, right? Like when they were like,
Hey guys, by the way,
we're not going to do anything to help your channel out. Also, can we take 50% of your earnings? And like, God.
Yep.
Everyone read that and it was like, no. This guy literally read the whole plan. Well, not read. Maybe he did read. How much did you guys offer again to like pay?
Well, so in the DMs, he responded with his agreeance 2 minutes after the link to the contract was sent. 2 minutes.
Yeah, so there's no way he could have read it. No, yeah. This guy was down bad. I mean, when I first conceived of the idea, I was like, all right, I need a sidekick. Who looks like they would sell NFTs? And I saw Oompa, and I was like, oh, dude. He looks like he's one bad day away from selling some kind of scam. So I was like, for sure, him.
Completely true.
So he goes in his DMs, and he's like, hey, are you willing to promote this thing? How long was it? It wasn't even long. It, like, responding to a random stranger's DM.
An hour.
Yeah, like an 2 hours. And he's like, yes.
Dude, he just has his DMs open on Twitter that, like...
He's just ready.
He's ready.
He has his DMs open on Twitter and he reads every DM within an hour?
Dude, proof that he can read, by the way. Proof.
There might be a bot. There might be a bot involved.
God.
He probably has, like, some Amazon bot set up, like, some AWS bot, like, looking through the DMs. It's like, NFT scam.
You're giving this guy way too much credit.
His AWS bot is, like, programmed to spell incorrectly, not punctuate his sentences, and also just leave out important parts of context when responding to messages.
Yeah, that's
why it's literally the Dylan Danis robot.
Dude, it's the long con.
That adds a human touch to it. Come on,
it's
now.
The long con.
I mean, like, listen. When it comes to influencer scam nonsense, I was always under the impression that, like, after the whole crypto. Well, honestly, after like Crypto Zoo saved the kids, everything, like, it's just. There's got to be like some limitation. People would be scared to walk into it.
Here's the thing.
Well, no, here's
the thing
that was Go ahead.
Go for it. Coffee, all you.
Oh, I was going to say, here's the thing. The reason I got pissed off about this whole thing and wanted to do this project was because Dylan Danis got up and said it with his chest like, oh, I can't believe I feel bad for everyone Logan Paul scammed. And I was thinking, wait, didn't you do a bunch of scams? So then my idea was, well, I'll just copy CryptoZoo and then basically make him promote a project that's identical to CryptoZoo. Yeah, it's the same thing. So it's like the point of it wasn't to cyberbully some random influencer who can't read. The point of it was to show that this guy who's out there saying like, oh, I can't believe people are scamming, Logan Paul scamming people. He's just as bad. And like a lot of these guys are just as bad. who promote these coins and then they delete it and they think no one sees. But
by the way, yeah, I also just don't care if it's cyberbullying. People like this deserve to get like destroyed.
Well, he's a giant tool.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, he promotes scams. Tool. Like, yeah. Literally promoting like, yeah, scams. Yeah. That's horrible.
Like, at the end of the day,
that's worse than cyberbullying. Like, on the scale, on the tier list of influencer crimes, I think promoting scams is worse than cyberbullying.
Can I tell you guys one of the funniest parts behind the scenes was Oompa came to me and he's like, I first pitched him the idea and he's like, oh, dude, I love it. I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, because you want to know why? I was like, why? Because I hate Dylan Danis. And I was like,
I was in it for cyberbullying from the very beginning.
For a different reason. He's like, I hate Dylan Danis. His takedown offense is terrible. I was like,
he's
wow.
Shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
he's not even a UFC fighter.
I always like it when it comes to like fitness YouTubers, because I know like when it comes to like fitness shit, I'll believe Oompa or anybody. So it's like when Caleb gets like absolutely asthma, it's so believable because it's like I'm gonna talk about the scam. Hell no, this guy's an actual dipshit.
The Caleb takes are always the best. It's like EDP's dying of liver failure. Oh well, he's a pedophile. He deserves it. You know, that's the Caleb take.
Exactly.
It's straight.
It's just simple.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Yeah. So what I was going to say is I think a lot of people don't think they're going to get caught for like these scams because it has to be worthwhile to expose them, right? Like Logan Paul's huge, right? You're going to get a ton of views if you expose Logan Paul. But if you're not going to get a ton of views if you expose, you know, Joe Schmo with 4 subscribers, right? I think Dylan Danis feels like he's too irrelevant for CoffeeZilla to expose him. And he wasn't.
I agree, and I also think
as
that
proof, you didn't even use his name in the title. See that?
Yeah, true.
Boom, proof.
He was in the thumbnail. He was in the thumbnail. But what I will say, I also think there was a point where me and Oompa were like, no one would believe someone would put in as much effort as we did to create a fake project. Because like at one point we had an entire website, we had a fake community, we had faked a white paper, we had faked a contract. Like we had gone to such lengths that I think the idea was, well, if you're going to fake something, it's just going to look worse than this. So our project looked pretty legit. And that's what people were saying. They were like, this looks more legit than a lot of real NFT projects.
Oh, well, dude, it looked more legit than Crypto Zoo.
When I announced it on my Discord, people were like, he's hacked. He's hacked. He's hacked. He's a scammer now. He's a scammer now. Like, no.
Well, you guys put more effort into like every other project that I've laughed at, like Paradox and Multiverse and all that nonsense crap. Like, the thing is, it's funny because like you guys put more effort into your NFT project, and it also didn't even like exist. It's just the whole market is so insane lately when it comes to like these crypto metaverse NFT projects. But I, you know, the thing that I hate about like anybody getting exposed, like Logan Paul, great expose into crypto. The problem is, 2 weeks later, everyone's like, oh, shit, he's signing Prime with the UFC? Wow, he can do no wrong. It's like people forgot about this guy's very recent past. It's like,
no, crazy. This is what I disagree with. I think they're just different audiences.
Okay. I agree.
And like the WWE audience is just not the Crypto Zoo audience.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately what's actually going to hurt him, too, is not the show itself. The expose pushed people to then actually end up, I think, suing, because I think he's getting sued now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, class action, yeah.
That's a lot more damaging, I mean, to Logan Paul than something I'm going to do. I'm just kind of shining a light on it. And ultimately, I think it's like the actual follow through that's way more important. Yeah. Can I tell you something I learned from this whole NFT thing that I thought was so interesting? So I've always known it's sort of easy to fake an NFT project, but I've never known how easy. And what was so interesting about doing this project is we got the chance to basically like spin up the what looks like a real project. And like you said, like it looks like we put in a lot more effort, but we didn't put in that much effort. I went on like Midjourney. I created a few fake NFTs.
I was
going to
be like, y'all fucking sat down and used that AI generated shit.
Yeah, 100%. Even like part of my contract was like ChatGPT. I was like, make a super legally jargon heavy like thing that says this. So much of it was just spun up in like a day. And I was just bored because there was a huge Texas freeze. And so nobody could do anything. Yeah. So I'm just sitting at home with crappy Wi-Fi trying to like spin up this thing. So this was all done in a day. And then I'm thinking, well, our project looks better than a lot of other projects. So what does that say about how much time they spent on that project? I just like my mind was blown about how little effort so many of these NFT projects actually have put into them.
I mean, you created a community in 2 hours.
Yeah, we did.
You created a bustling NFT community that wasn't even real in 2 hours.
Sometimes so I feel like this explains the multiverse theory or some shit, because it's like, I always wonder, where the fuck do these people come from, right? Like, where do these communities generate? Like, you ever watch one of these podcasts on YouTube that are, like, viewed by 20 people max? Like, they get 20 views, but it's like these super professional crypto podcasts. And it's like,
yeah.
Who's the person watching this? Like, who is it for? Like, where do these people exist? I don't know.
Bots. A lot of bots. Yeah. When we bought, because we had to, all of a sudden Dylan Danis starts coming to us and being like, hey, where's your community actually? Like, we almost had him. And we were like, oh crap, we don't have a community. So we created a quick Twitter and I started buying like Russian bots to try to follow our account, in addition to like getting some of our followers to put some interaction there.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped.com, and they got a beard hedger. Yeah, they went from waist to face. No more mixing and matching. Yeah, that's gross, by the way. But ladies and gentlemen, I do like the beard hedger. It helps you maintain this beard that I possess. And it all starts with a beard hedger. I mean, this thing is a complete juggernaut with the engineers over at Manscaped. They have brought upon a waterproof cordless trimmer that has a rotary wheel, all right, that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths all with one guard. So no more messy drawer full of like extra add-ons that you gotta like sift through. None of that, all in one. And you've heard that, ladies and gentlemen, with 20 lengths, it's never been more easier to find whatever signature beard look you wanted. And the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that's tough on hair, but absolutely smooth on your face. And of course, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer. It comes with 4 dermatologist-tested formulations for post-trim care. We're talking beard shampoos and the conditioner. All your hair is different, and it has to be treated separately. Some is more coarse, some is more fine. And that's why the kit is specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. The Pro Beard Kit also comes up with 3 extra free gifts, a brush, a beard brush, no less, in fact, a comb and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SOP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using our code SOP. And remember, the Manscaped Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the premier solution to facial grooming.
And all the bot followers all had like something, something, something dot ETH.
Oh, yeah.
You know, board monkey JPEG. Crazy. It's all a bunch of like all the bots were crypto related accounts. And I don't think that was coincidence to like, you know, just they knew we were running a crypto project. I think literally all the bot accounts just happen to be crypto related because the people who buy bots the most are crypto projects. And so a lot of the hype, the big lessons were like, okay, it doesn't take that much effort. And then also creating fake hype is so easy. We created this Discord that was like, to the moon, I'm quitting my job because of this. I've never seen something so bullish in my life. And none of it was real. It was all like, we just told like 5 people to post. And when you have enough people like just like posting, it just looks super organic and exciting. And it looked like there was hype that just wasn't there.
Wow.
Damn. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So glad to have been a part of it. That was incredible.
I mean, Jesus Christ, guys. Like,
I think we should do a part 2, and I think part of part 2 will be announcing that we're doing a part 2 so that these influencers will have a huge lead time on knowing that we're doing this.
I feel like for part 2 we should I would totally be down to participate in something where like we just siphon money out of an actual scammer. Like, I was thinking about this, right? Okay.
Literally scam a scammer.
No, like I was thinking about it like this, right? Like, I wanted to donate money to charity, right? But what if we made an NFT, like all 4 of us, let's get like a couple other big people, let's get like Charlie involved into it or something, and we make like an NFT project, right? Like a real shitty project.
And we each buy it off each other.
Exactly. So
it's like
we buy it
around
off
a couple of times.
Exactly. We buy it off you for 100, then 1,000, then like 10,000. And then we get
you
a
wait
scammer
for
involved.
Some idiot to buy it.
Exactly.
And then we split the profit.
One scamming douchebag walks in. And he's like, oh, wow, these are big YouTubers attached. Let me buy this. As soon as they buy it, we just donate that money to charity. And the guy gets scammed off of us. Like, what the
fuck? Like, dude, what do you mean? What are you talking about?
Slowly
you
can
evolve into just, like, actual scams.
Dude,
just,
that
like,
is not scamming them. That's just a poor investment
like
on their part. That's not a scam.
I mean,
it's just a bad investment.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you ethically find somebody that's been doing this for years. And it's like, all right, cool. We'll just scam you out of your own fucking life.
Nah. Yeah, the trick is, oh my god, coffee, you have to develop an NFT project, okay? Sell it to some big influencer that they're going to rug pull, okay? We buy all the tokens before he does, then he buys tokens, and then we rug pull him.
Yeah, I feel like rug pulling the rug pullers might be a fun story.
Yeah, before he gets to sell it to his community.
I was thinking that one way you could do it is like I think the next step is in the next project, I would want to approach multiple influencers and then actually tell them that it's going to be a scam. Like just tell them straight up, hey, this, just so you know, you're going to want to delete pretty quick because this thing's a total rug pull.
That's smart. It's like, dude, might make $40 million, but it is a scam.
Yeah, exactly. You might make $40 million and just see who sticks
around.
Who sticks around? Who does it? That would be even more interesting. Like you approach like 20 influencers and like at the end of the video, you show who didn't promote it, who did promote it. That could be really interesting. And then obviously you don't actually take any money. That is not a good.
One of the things, it sounds similar to this one TV show. It's like, what would you do? Or something. I think it was called that or whatever. You guys might know it. It's like, whenever
I've heard of that,
it's like they would put these like really like ethical scenarios in front of people. It's like, this is somebody with Down syndrome who can't read. What would you do in public? Would you help them out or would you spit on them? Right. And it would be like 9 people would spit on them and the one person would help the, you know, Down syndrome person. It would be
the Mr. Beast response or the Vitaly response.
Yeah, exactly. Would you be Vitaly or Mr. Beast? So it almost sounds similar to that. And I would be, I'm going to make a wager and just say like, 100% of the influencers will probably be down with scamming the fans if you pitch it the right way.
Really? 100%. I don't know if I'm like too charitable, but I think it would be like 50-50.
No,
I think it depends on where you go. If you go like the sports influencers,
100%,
or like Instagram,
100%. Those people have no
Instagram.
Soul.
They don't give a.
Yeah.
If you approach giant meme pages on Instagram who are like anonymous, who don't have a face, they will fucking scam the shit. Massive meme pages with like 40 million followers.
Yeah, true.
I think like beauty YouTubers, anybody, I think a lot of people with like literal dipshit fan bases. Because that's why, here's the thing. Sometimes I don't even blame the influencer. I blame the fucking audience sometimes too. Because it's like, you don't keep your creator accountable. That's the problem, right? Like this guy literally scammed you 12 times every time the past year. One scam a month. And you still decided to sit down and watch their content.
Yep.
So it's like a lot of these channels just have audiences that literally give them the allowance to keep going and running these scam operations. So I don't know. I've seen so many like scumbags that at this point, I believe 100% most people would do it. I also think like the thing about it is like, everybody knows that their time on YouTube is limited, right? Like everyone knows that at some point everyone falls off. Like it's a natural
thing. Yeah, it's an inevitability.
So it's like make as much hay.
It's not going to happen to me, guys.
Except
not
me, for us.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
But like, if we keep this scam thing up, we're going to go forever.
Exactly.
No, I'm joking, obviously.
No, yeah. but it's like you reach a point where now the idea is like make hay while the sun shines. So these people will do as much scams as they can because they know at the end there's not any prosecution that's headed their way. At least it's what it seems, right?
I mean, like, just look at Dylan Danis as an example. He's done over 20 of these, right? If he takes $5K for each one, that's over $100,000. Yeah. You know, and no matter how much cancellation comes his way, he made a fat stack.
And if he's smart, he takes that money and starts some energy drink company or something and calls it a day, right? Like I'm just saying.
I actually have a question for you guys. Yeah. What is the difference between a guy who gets away with this type of behavior and like their audience sticks around? And then there's some people who seemingly get like irreparably, like they fall off and aren't ever the same because of this stuff. So you look at someone like Kay, I don't think he's had like really a comeback since Save the
Kids.
Oh,
he's like disappeared into nothing.
Yeah. So what is the difference? I think Ice was a bit similar. I think Ice already had kind of fallen off a little bit.
He fell off.
I think he's making a comeback now. But no, what I'm trying to say is like, why do some people seem to, it tanks them? And then some people, they just steamroll through and they don't care. And their audience doesn't care.
It just depends on how you act after it.
I don't know if it's just after that. If you get canceled for something that goes against the audience that you built, then you're going to be toast. But if you get canceled for, I don't know, something different, like if you're a bully and you get canceled for bullying, you'll be fine, right? Because that's the audience you built.
Well, it's like, if you're like a Sigma Finance YouTuber, right, like TikTok investor or something, and you get canceled for running a scam, bro, that's just a grind set, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, what, are you gonna cancel somebody for that? No. But if you're like, it's like if you're somebody in like that community, like the, I hate the T community or whatever the fuck it is, right? Like, let's investigate this YouTuber without any evidence, by the way, every day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you get canceled for doing some heinous shit in that, you get removed completely. But it's like, it's like Nick said, it's like, it really depends on if you're in that community. Like, the thing with FaZe K, or K, is that he, it also depends on how you handle yourself.
So
right?
K, like, especially got canceled because he got booted out of FaZe, right? That was part of his brand. He betrayed his actual brand.
He got suspended, booted, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very different situation than, I don't know, someone who's doing their own thing, you know?
That whole situation would have been different had they never even addressed it, I think. Like, had the organization, FaZe, never even addressed their crypto stuff, it might not even have gotten as big as it did.
Do you guys think that maybe it's just, like, the influencer or the perpetrator of the scam, do you think it's just their ability to just ignore hate and criticism, just to keep going forward, just like some form of confidence or something?
It's to an extent, and it's also how you handle a response too, right? Like, remember FaZe's, like, K's response was brain dead, because he immediately, like, the thing is, every one of these guys jumps to suing you. And at this point, like, I'm just like, do it. Like, bring it on. Like, you don't understand that there's phases in a lawsuit where, like, we just get every piece of information on each other. And if I'm sure that you're a scammer, I'm not shitting myself, right? Because at that point, I just know it's a matter of how much money I have to dump in before I file an anti-slap and get it back. But eventually, both of us will dump enough money to know that your reputation will be irreparably damaged. So you're basically playing a game of chicken with somebody you know is driving a junked car. So it depends on how they handle themselves. Obviously, if you come out suing somebody, the entire public perception, even the people that support you, are like, damn, you're a fucking beta bitch, get out of here, I'm not part of you anymore. Like, you lose all support you can get with that one shitty response. And then when you come back with a second apology, at that point nobody cares, right? Like, for me, it's wild when people immediately respond. Like, give it a day, give it 2 days, get your emotions in order, and think of the proper, like, response. It's like the Logan Paul thing, right? Like, he made one quick response to his allegations, and he got shit on by the entire community. There was nobody in defense of Logan Paul. Find me one video where it's like, maybe Logan was right, boys. Let him cook. You won't find one.
Let him cook.
Yeah, exactly. You won't find one.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on. Let him cook. He's got Riz.
Yeah.
And now he comes back, and it's like, I'm going to bring CryptoZoo back in like 2023, 2024, which, fuck it, I don't know. I mean, it's like Tech Lead. You know why Tech Lead doesn't get canceled? Because Tech Lead is just like, he lives for that kind of shit. I've been looking at Million Token for over a year, and that whole investigation is just like thrown into the fucking, like, maybe I'll do it at some point pile. Because it's like, yeah, it's scumbaggy behavior, but it's like, at that point, calling him out isn't going to do anything. Like, his audience isn't going to go against the grain because they're fucking stupid. He's just going to be like, he lives for this kind of stuff. You know, it's not like Logan where there might be an ounce of humanity in the guy. You know,
like, well, or at Logan, least he's trying to portray that at least.
Exactly.
Well, what's weird? True. What's weird too is, like he said, like, oh, I'll donate like 1,000 ETH or whatever, and he's like, I'm going to set up this buyback program, and I don't know. When do you say that that's expected? Like, he hasn't done anything. Like, I haven't seen anything yet. So when do you kind of, because I'm like, I'm going to follow up and make sure that that actually happens. But with things like, you know, such long time frames, like, hey, I'll figure out CryptoZoo in 2024. When do you call that out if it doesn't actually happen, right?
You do it just like you did. You call it out in like a year and the situation.
What if you can't hire criminals anymore to run it?
Bad news.
What if you have to actually vet?
That would ruin everything.
It just seems like a lot of work.
There were two things that I hated so much in that. So when I watched the response from him, I was like, when he mentioned the fucking dude who was caught in like a liquor store robbery, according to Logan's
Zach Helling.
The thing with him is like, immediately when I watched the video, I'm like, hold on a minute. I didn't even know that about Zach Helling, right? So I look it up on Google and I'm like, this guy's literally like leaking somebody's expunged criminal record. So if you were to take this to a court of law, bro, Logan Paul already had the best possible team to do background checks on these individuals. His legal team is digging up expunged records. First off, you can't even go out with the expectation that I'm hiring people that I didn't know were criminals. You had full knowledge. Like, you work with that fucking Pokemon Crypto King douchebag that was already shit on by the entire community. Eddie Ibanez that was already being shit on by the entire community and investigated by the U.S. government. And then you have, like, you just have, like, the Avengers squad of, like, complete douchebags working on your project.
Yeah.
And then, of course, even beyond all of the, just ignore that for a minute. You get into aspects where, like, the CryptoZoo project, like, one developer came out and made the whole game in, like, a day. So then it raises the question, what the fuck are you actually doing with your project? If it takes one guy a day to come up with the framework of your game, and it took you, like, a year and a half to maybe somehow get this thing halfway off the ground, like, it's such a wild beast.
Yeah, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah. It's like he's just dumping money over, well, allegedly dumping money, I guess. But yeah, to keep him accountable, it's like one of the other things is that he never mentioned in the video is like the other blockchain investigations, right? So I was hammering him from that Dink Doink bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. Because
if you look into his wallets, right, or like people associated to Logan Paul, why is there so much like suspicious behavior in like transaction timings? Like, he announces this Dinktoin project, wallets related to him are buying and dumping the Dinktoin coin. Why won't he mention that? Because if any like actual investigator looked at that with like any authority, they'd be like, maybe we should look into it further. This guy's very suspicious. And then you've got like hundreds of thousands of dollars being traded between him and like FTX and Alameda. I'm like, wait, what? Like, this just gets deeper. Like, it just has, it's a wild pile. And the thing is, that's the shit that will go unaddressed. And unfortunately, you'll never get a peep out of Logan about that, whether it be because he'll implicate himself or, you know, some other nonsense.
Yeah, the whole thing's wild. I mean, like, a lot of these people, I think they're mostly fed on by, you know, FOMO and greed. They just want to be like the next influencer next door. So I think a lot of these guys could make millions of dollars just with regular business ventures, but they hear that their buddy down the road made $10 million dollars with an NFT project. So they think, well, I've doubled the audience. I can make $20 million if I just do something similar. And they don't ever like care about actually following through on these projects. Do you guys think that there's ever going to be any kind of legal act? This is something I keep thinking about, legal action from not just lawyers, but the government in terms of actually punishing these guys? Because I don't see any reason for these influencers to stop unless somebody goes to jail at some point.
Yeah,
even five months in jail.
Gonna,
5 months.
Well,
6 months.
Yeah, I was going to bring that earlier. Diego? The SEC for 2023, their top priority is targeting crypto advisors. So,
not financial advice.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up earlier. Yeah, because like for a lot of stuff that's just an area of gray, like for example, hacking and stuff in the 90s. Like there was just no way to prosecute someone because that had never happened before. There was no like laws for it. And then there's like one case sets a legal precedence. And then from that point on, it's like, all right, this is illegal. If you do this, we can take you to court right now. And then just see this case that ended this way. You're basically doing the exact same thing. Go to jail.
Yeah.
So like, as soon as there's like a phase K versus the United States of America or some shit like that.
Yeah, that gets a lot
scarier.
Once there's precedence, in other words.
Yeah, once they set a legal precedence, yes, exactly.
The other thing is trying to, like, pitch it to the government. So we all know the government is filled with, like, really old people, like, in 60, 70.
No, that's wrong.
No,
they're all old.
Differently. They're, like, really old guys and like, fuck, they're really old people that have no understanding of, like, modern-day technology, right? We're literally operating on copyright acts that are dated from, like, the 70s. The problem is, like, in the U.S. legal system, like, a lot of the old guys look at Bitcoin as, like, funny money, right? Like, it's cryptocurrency. When it's, yeah, in a lot of ways, it can't be funny money, but it is legitimate actual currency that you can trade with the U.S. dollar, right? Like, in some cases, depending on where you live, Bitcoin is better to own than, like, the actual national currency, right? Like, Lebanon, look at what happened to them recently. So, the thing with cryptocurrency is if you can paint it in such a way where, like, listen, these influencers are taking this money away, and that money, you know, it's actual money. It's money that's taken out of the U.S., like, you know, in taxpayers' hands. Then the government looks at it differently, right? Like, you give them a dollar amount, you tell them this money could be used to finance, you know, terrorism or some fucking bullshit, then they look at it even harder. But until you start painting that to the government, or you paint that to the U.S., they won't look at this as seriously. Because also, you've got influencers who aren't really scamming to the amount that would fall into the purview of the SEC, right? Like,
right, it's too little. It's like exactly. It's like $1 million, $2 million. Yeah. It's not enough. Yeah, that's a huge problem. Also, I think there's also a level of brazenness to some of these scams that maybe it feels like I don't know. Like I saw this thing called Traders Domain recently, which is some high interest yield program, whatever. They say like they're a Forex bot that's going to make you 470,000% or something like that year.
That's likely.
The question is if it's such an obvious scam, should regulators go after it if there's just going to be five more that pop up? Because I see a lot of those go, nobody goes after them. And I think part of the reason is because they're so obvious. Like it's like at some point in putting together some kind of a scam, how big of returns do you have to promise before the thing is so absurd that the government's not interested? Like if I promise you a 1,000,000,000% return per day and you put your money with me.
Yeah, at that point it only matters is like if this game is working, right? Like if it's working to the level that was unexpected, right? Like if there's... Yeah. Because if they can find out that like $20 million has been funneled into an obvious scam, they'll probably be like, yeah, maybe we should like stop this. But if it's like $200,000, they're like, whatever, those guys are idiots. We're not going to waste your time.
We're having this conversation though at all? Like a bunch of YouTubers are having the conversation of the government needs to act more about, you know, scams. How did we get to this place? So strange.
We got to
that we'd be having this conversation. Like, aren't they supposed to be having this conversation?
Look, I think we just get to this point because we, like, as content creators, like as YouTubers, we do a lot more self-policing than any other type of media.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Like if somebody is scamming in our community, we're like, oh, you're a scumbag piece of shit. We're all on that, okay? Whether it's to also line our own pockets and also, like, you know, get our own popularity up too, because there's that aspect as well. Nobody can pretend that doesn't exist. But also, that self-policing ultimately helps us in the long run. Because if we didn't self-police our community, we would have way too many scammers. And then eventually, YouTube, like the private company, would come down and shut us, right? So dude, in a lot of ways, it's in
our
fucking...
If we didn't self-police, how many people do you think want to DM, let's say, or harass someone, or DM a minor, and don't because they fear that they're going to get canceled by their peers? How many people do you think would promote NFTs, but they don't because they don't want that reputation that other YouTubers are going to call them out on it? I feel like that's a large percent of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because like, they see it was easy money, but they're like, realize, oh, crap, I might take a hit.
Well, the potential for easy money, because it's not guaranteed easy money, right? Like if you get caught and blown up, and then like to completely ostracize from the entire community. Because like, look, even if like K came back, how many people would realistically work with him, you know? Like, knowing that, oh, shit, this guy got caught for... Like, it's just like, once you have that stink on you, you just don't work with somebody, period. It goes for any YouTuber. It goes for any content creator. So, you know.
Except for Logan Paul. They'll still work with you.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah, true. He's transcended all that.
Crazy,
dude,
man.
Size just, at the end of the day, trumps all. At the end of the day, you have a large following, and you'll be totally fine. No matter what.
Yeah.
Oh, so just like the if you're big enough, basically there's no amount of scamming you can do that will matter.
Yeah. Again, like PewDiePie could release Baby Coin or something like that right now.
It depends how much of it.
I don't think so. No. See, but he's already been canceled. People already think he's a white supremacist.
See, but here's the thing: PewDiePie
for no reason.
True.
Well, I don't know.
Well, sort of no reason. But yeah.
Few reasons.
Yeah, whatever. But, not the point. But anyway, but like PewDiePie, he built his community off like this commentary and honesty type thing, right? Like that's basically the community that he has right now. So if he went against that and contradicted his own like morals that he's been promoting the entire time, that's when I feel like he'll get in trouble.
The easiest one to get away with everything is like maybe the grift where you go like, hey, like I'm super, super capitalist, super money hungry, super get that bag, super anti-cancel culture. Because then you attract people who are always all like that. And then you can be like, hey, man, look, I was just out there to get that bag. It's not my fault. Take some personal responsibility for your actions.
It's true. That person has to build an audience. That person has to build an audience.
As soon as you said that, you know who I thought of immediately in my head? As soon as, like,
Joe Rogan.
No, not even Joe Rogan. Like, immediately, like, bro, I saw the house. I saw the street. I saw the whole, like, video in my head from, I, like, blanked out. I went into an alternate dimension. Aiden Ross. And immediately, oh, yeah. I thought of Aiden Ross.
I was going to say Andrew Tate, but.
Well, I mean, how far off are we?
He's in jail. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, well, here's the thing with the Tate. How long is he? They've been extending his jail sentence. Do they have any evidence for that? Or is it just like.
And apparently, like, they haven't been letting him have visitors either.
Romanian law, apparently, you can just do whatever you want. It's like a really corrupt country or something.
I wonder why he moved there.
He should try bribing them again.
No. That is the funniest twist that came out of all of that, because he went there and he's bragging about how corrupt the government is. He's like, it's so amazing. And then he gets locked up and they don't give him a reason for keeping him. And he's like, what?
You can literally bribe them.
This corrupt,
it goes both ways. Andrew,
this corrupt country can do whatever they want. Like, what the? No, the thing with the Tates is I think they put him down. Like, I think they, wow, I'm saying like they fucking killed him. I think they put him in prison because I think he's like a travel risk. Like, bro, you can't be saying I have like 20 different passports and I can leave and enter the country whenever I want and like not get like, you know, because here's the thing with like law enforcement.
Flight unless risk.
If you piss off the government or like the prosecutors, they're going to be assholes to you. That's it. That's just how it works. It's like being an asshole to a cop that pulls you over. You're just adding more flames to the fire. So he's already burned his like goodwill. And yeah, he is part of it. He is in a corrupt country that can do whatever they want. So yeah, that is the funniest twist. It's like he said that he could abuse the laws in this country. Well, it's like where's that happening? Like, where's the bribe payments going out?
Did you guys see his tweet this morning?
No.
No.
He said, the song Is This Love by Whitesnake has been on repeat in my head permanently since I've been in prison.
What?
Okay.
I'm not even joking. He actually tweeted that.
Is this love?
Yeah. He's been listening to some hair metal in his head.
Do you
well,
think
he doesn't have any hair have, like, out of his head, coder. So I mean, I guess you got to do what you got to do.
No!
Don't tell Keemstar.
Yeah, Do they just... Do they give him like a? Does he just have like a phone in like prison, or is it just like somebody comes in and he like tells him what to tweet and do it?
From what I've picked up from his tweets, I believe what he's doing is he's writing letters to his assistant or someone who has his phone, and his assistant or someone who has his phone is tweeting on his behalf from letters.
Okay.
You know what I think? I think if he actually gets out of jail, he's going to become a bigger star than he was before.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's going to go on Joe Rogan. And he's going to do a bigger grift than ever before. And again,
absolutely.
My whole thing with Andrew Tate was just always like, hey, this is all big front so he can get a bunch of people into this Hustlers University thing.
Yeah.
And that's where he's making his real money. And
he's going to become Dr. Evil.
That drives me crazy that everyone doesn't see through that. Like, this whole, have you seen like the realworld.ai or whatever?
Yep. Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm signed up. I've learned a lot.
I'm in that trailer. It's like so funny. It was such a funny move. He like puts me in the trailer and it's like the Matrix is attacking. And then it's, you know, a bunch of people saying negative things about, you know, Tate. And then I'm just suddenly on there like, you know, he's this, he's that, he's et cetera. And after mine and only after my stuff, he like flashes the word wrong. Like he like for like a frame, just everything goes black and it's just in white text. It's like wrong. And then it goes on.
Wrong.
You're wrong, Capizella. You're wrong.
The thing with a lot of these, like the thing with Andrew Tate is like, and it's funny because I remember like months ago, they were like, are you glad that he got banned or everything? I'm like, you understand like banning Andrew Tate, somebody that famous, isn't actually going to do anything to actually limit the dude's reach, right? Because at the end of the day, banning the guy has still made his like videos shared all across YouTube Shorts. Has still made his stuff shared across TikTok. If anything, you're emboldened. You're turning the guy into a martyr, in my opinion, right?
Yeah, it's martyrdom. Yeah. The Streisand effect. Like, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Here's the thing: ever since Andrew Tate got banned, in the real fucking world, in reality land, not Twitter land, because that's not real. In reality land, my parents know about Andrew Tate now. My significant other's parents know about Andrew Tate. All right, so like my grandma knows about Andrew Tate now.
So does mine.
It's like ever since he got banned, the people that would never have heard about him just suddenly know about him because it's now he's covered in the news and everything.
I disagree with this. Okay. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. Mm-hmm. I disagree with you guys. I think deplatforming does work. Right. I think my personal issue with deplatforming is I think when you deplatform one person, it usually works. Like I think Alex Jones was bigger mm-hmm. before. Like initially, when you're deplatformed, you always get a big bump in like your next stream will be huge because you're saying I'm banned or whatever.
Your Rumble stream will be like a million viewers, and then it'll go down to 10. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. What you have to do at that point is you're just relying on people to invite you on their platforms, and you're kind of circumventing the ban, which is actually how you get the relevance. And you're saying, oh, deplatforming doesn't work. But the only reason it doesn't work is just because you're circumventing the deplatforming. The only time I've heard about Tate since his deplatforming is like either in news articles because he said something outrageous on a major platform or because he found a way onto the major platform. This is the same with Alex Jones. Like the only time I saw Alex Jones was when he went on Rogan. Afterwards. Right. I think though the challenge is when you deplatform one guy, it's cool. He's probably gone. When you deplatform 20 guys, okay, maybe like the crazy people who supported them are going to be going with them. The problem is when you deplatform like 10,000 people, well, that's enough for a community to start forming a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then like somewhere when you deplatform, the point is what you don't want to happen is so many people get deplatformed that there's the economic ability to support an entirely new community of people. And you see this start working with like things like Rumble and where it's like almost, a platform. It's not really though yet. But every year, one of these alt platforms like tries to do stuff. They have more and more people to add to their ranks. They get a little bit bigger every time. It's like, okay, now they have this many million and now this many million. They always have problems. There's not really been one that has really like been able to get any kind of mainstream success. But my thought is when people just say their answer is always deplatforming, I just always think like you have to be careful because the worst thing that could happen is creating – the true echo chamber is just everyone's on different platforms. Like on YouTube,
segregated by country, fragmented.
Segregated by like ideology. That would be, I think, really bad because we already have a huge information ecosystem problem where if you're on the left, you hear something that confirms your biases. When you're on the right, all you're recommended is like Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder or something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah. And so, I think that's the danger that I see, but I think in the individual case, usually it is effective.
Well, to reword deplatforming, I don't think deplatforming doesn't work. I also feel like when it comes to deplatforming people, you need to have provide a good reason. Like you need to provide a very like verbose reason when the deplatforming happens, especially for somebody popular.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know if you
one
do.
One of the things. Well, no,
I feel like you don't.
For it to work, I feel like you do.
Well, one of the things that like. Well, one of the reasons why is that like, okay, so if somebody ever like somebody random gets banned, like no name account, whatever, they broke the TOS. But when somebody like Andrew Tate gets banned, in order to like I think have a bigger effect, is like mention like exactly why, right? Like this guy, exactly why like this 2 million account got banned, 2 million follower account, so that you can at least because like if you just say they got banned for a generic reason, you have like people like Sneeko or somebody who come out and say, oh, the Matrix got them. No further explanation. No nothing.
They're gonna say that no matter what though. No matter even if they do give explanations.
I'm just saying try to get as many people who are still in that center middle to like at least understand the logical side, right? Before they just listen to the Matrix shit and jump there.
I don't know if I agree with that. I don't think a platform needs a legitimate reason to ban someone. So I think if someone's deplatformed and all their fame comes from that platform, the deplatforming works. But if their fame comes from beyond that platform, then they're going to be fine. So like let's say Andrew Tate, who's banned from YouTube, he was banned from TikTok. His fame at this point transcended both YouTube and TikTok. He goes on Fox News, okay? He's past that point. So since he still has that outlet to reach his audience, the deplatforming didn't actually work. It only gave him ammunition to say that, look, the Matrix is after me. But if you look at someone like Leafy...
He also has enough money too, Andrew Tate, that he can operate on other platforms or absolutely. Like make his own website that he can work off of, sadly.
Someone like Leafy, right? His whole enterprise was YouTube. He was just YouTube. So when he got the platform from YouTube, he was toast.
Yeah, I think the only way for it to really truly work is to have no other platform, obviously, and also to have something like the meme, these levels are trying to assassinate my character. Like, if you successfully assassinate someone's character and get them deplatformed, a la Alex Jones with all the Sandy Hook stuff as of late, his numbers haven't been good. They've been the worst they've ever been in the history of his whole, like, career. He doesn't have people going to his website. Yeah. Like, even post all the Joe Rogan stuff, I mean, he's fallen off hard, right? Yeah. He's been deplatformed. Yeah. And he's been had his character completely assassinated by being associated with a lawsuit involving the parents of a school shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's fucking terrible, dude. Terrible. Yeah. Like, that's a total.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to get that. Like, if Andrew Tate, if it comes out that he is all this stuff that is all true, I feel like it works. The deplatforming works. If not, he's coming. He's back.
Deplatforming needs to be met with a few extra like. Fucking stabs in the
a good slap.
Good.
I think also though, I think I mean, so far we've just been talking about if it works. I think the larger concern though, just as I think every creator starts to realize when they see deplatforming that we all work under the sort of this illusion that we are kind of like free to do whatever we want. We're like our own bosses or whatever. Whatever, but when see that, you realize how dependent you are on something like this, and I think that is kind of concerning. It's like, oh wow, on the whims of
I also think it's really hard to get deplatformed, in my opinion, too, because it's like it's a big like everyone mentions like, oh, they could come for you next, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've been making YouTube videos for so many years. It's like, I don't know if the deplatforming is ever, like, I'm never scared of a deplatform because I'm also not out there making, like, you know, these, like, misogynistic, like, videos. I'm not out there, like, running these scams and guiding people into the real world or, you know, saying, like, blatantly, like, racist, homophobic shit, you know, like, on the nose, if you will, like some creators would that end up getting banned.
You haven't been playing Hogwarts Legacy, have you?
I've been playing a lot of that, so, I mean, at that point, like, I'm fucking getting deleted, who knows? But like, it's also one of those things where it's like, I'm never scared of a deplatform because the content that I make, I don't believe would ever fall under the purview of that. You know, it's like, I feel like anybody that breaks the TOS, you typically notice that their content has always been like, okay, if tomorrow Steven Crowder got banned off YouTube, would anybody be surprised? Like,
nah,
he has always pushed it to the edge, you know?
No.
Like, I saw him on Tim Pool the other day, and literally in the middle of it, when they were talking about this Daily Wire contract, and like, and Tim Pool is like, I own my entire enterprise. And like, out of nowhere, Steven Crowder's like, but you're not Jewish, right? And I'm like, why the fuck would you just say that? like he's kind of, he's on like that nose of it, you know? Like, we know what he's trying to say. He's trying to subvert. Whoa.
Mentioning noses in this context is not a good look, bro.
Yeah, not a good look.
Please.
Freudian slip, Budahar. Freudian slip.
That's true.
We know what you did.
Yeah, it's like, I know. I could smell it a mile away. But like, the funny thing is,
Muda, you know why Jews have big noses?
Oh, he's allowed to say it. He's allowed to say it.
I'm allowed, all right?
Yeah, he's got the Jewish
mask. I'm genetically allowed to say this stuff. Jews have big noses because air is free.
There you go. See, this is why.
Are you happy?
Please.
You have to.
That's like the whole basis of the movie Spaceballs, bro.
What a great movie.
Have you seen that? I mean, Mel Brooks is Jewish.
I love that movie.
It's like the whole thing is one big long Jew joke.
But it's like, dude, like the whole point of it is like the people that get banned, it's like they're the ones that are playing into that so hard, right? Like, they're playing in for whatever community that follows them. And they end up getting banned because, yeah, you played really fine and close to TOS. You got removed. Like, I'm not really shocked for you, so to speak, right? Like, I'm not sitting here pretending like this came out of nowhere.
Right, but that's always been the case with any kind of like argument for, you know, freedom of expression. It's never the guys who are playing it safe that are ever concerned, right? Obviously, it's always the person at the edge who is the most concerned about getting deplatformed. That's like always been true. I think the question is, who should be in charge of those decisions? Right. Like, of like, what's OK to say, what's not OK to say. Should it be like a tech oligopoly? Should it be the government? Should it be I don't know. No, maybe not oligopoly, like monopoly.
Is that a real word?
Yeah, like I think it comes from oligarch, but I was trying to. I don't think I'm using it in the right context. I think it might be related to
this. Case,
I
mean, it makes sense. Like right? Like,
a very rich business leader with a great deal of political influence is an
See,
oligarch.
I think the way it should be decided if people get deplatformed, Hassan and Ben Shapiro, if they unanimously decide someone should get deplatformed, just nuke them. Like if they agree, get rid of them.
I think we should find it. We should start a council.
Yo!
A council of elders.
Oh, the shadow ban council? Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people with the nuclear button in front of them.
That's like the nuclear reminds me of like the Elon Musk shit. Remember when he got on Twitter? It's like Twitter trust and safety should be like this council of like equal voices on either side. Haven't seen that shit materialize. Haven't seen any of it. Honestly, it feels like the whole Twitter bans have just been like they were before. So it would be an interesting way to look at it. But at that point, when we're talking about freedom of expression, at what point is it also like the freedom of a private company to just ban you, you know,
yeah,
if they feel like it, right?
Well, it's
The argument is that it's beyond that though, right? It's like a new territory.
Yeah. It's like a new public good, kind of like electricity or like like the water or something like that.
Yep.
Because of the network effect, there's only so many of these that can actually work. And these networking effects have a tendency to monopolize and create these like walled gardens where the investment to actually compete is so high that it's unrealistic to expect real alternatives to exist. And because that's the case, these platforms become a public good for the entire public that have to serve the interest of the entire public rather than the interest of themselves. I think the bigger question though too is these advertisers also end up being more the deciders than even the platform themselves.
Oh, no doubt.
Most of the time, the policies are decided more by the advertiser's comfort level than even the platform's comfort level in TOS. Most of the time, the TOS is guided by like what will advertisers stick around for. And we have to decide, are we comfortable with sort of ad people deciding what's okay and not okay? I mean, we've been talking about sort of shadow banning, but even I think one of the things that shapes content even more than shadow banning is like monetization. You know, what gets monetized, what doesn't is largely dependent on just like advertisers being like, yeah, green thumb, down thumb. I mean, I guess it's one of the pitfalls of, I don't know if I have a solution for this, but it's like that's a huge problem. It's like the reason you don't see anybody talking about a lot of serious issues is because they'll just get demonetized for it. And I won't even list what those issues are because this whole episode will probably get demonetized.
Yeah, demonetized or struck. Yeah, one or the other. So the other thing too about like the advertising, I'd go further and be like, it's also like, it's wild that most of the decisions that can happen are also up to a payment processor as well too, right? Like at that point, you literally have like the option of maybe two or three people in the industry that can decide if you make money or not, right? Like payment processors indirectly can kill websites. Or they can't, right? It's one of those things where it's like, I remember like with Pornhub, right? One of the websites, and I'm no defender of Pornhub in any capacity because they've been known to do really shady things. But their business model had to change dramatically because while they were one of the most visited sites in the world by web traffic, like I think they were like, what, number two or three? The problem is like, because they had so much bad press, it took one cancellation from MasterCard and Visa to like back out of their deal. And all of a sudden, this was like a site that was like, oh, shit, please pay us in crypto, guys, or we're going to refuse to function because we have no other option left. So it's like the payment processor literally jumped in without any involvement from the government or like anybody else or any council. They literally just like strangled the business dry and they had to like change overnight dramatically in order to even keep the lights on. And that can be reflective of like any other business, right? Like tomorrow, MasterCard and Visa could deny Google services. Well, what the f would happen to YouTube, right? When it comes to like super chatting and like various other, you know, business arrangements they have set up.
Yeah, well, you have these monopolies like all the way down the stack of like, if you look at like cloud hosting, AWS is one of the biggest, or you look at these app stores, if you're running an app and you want to do a certain thing, if you run afoul of the Google Play Store or the Apple Store, game over. You can't even compete. It's like a non-starter. Mm-hmm. They are literally gatekeeping the ability to reach customers of one of the biggest segments markets in the world, which is like mobile apps. So and it's like absolutely sort of at their discretion of who they do business with, who they don't. How comfortable are we with those power levels? This is where I get to much more like I know people don't like to hear this, but I think like the government should be a lot more involved in breaking up these monopolies. We haven't seen actual like trust busting in a very long time, like of monopoly busting in a very long time. And it's like, we have bigger monopolies today than we ever did.
Well, the reason why the government would never do that now, sadly, as hard as it is a lot of these companies are in bed with the government as a thing, right? Like Google, Microsoft, for instance, they used to be like the poster child for, oh, you're breaking, you know, antitrust, we're going to hit you the most. Remember back in the day when like the browser wars were a thing, like when Microsoft was like pushing Internet Explorer and like caving their competition out, they got fucking snipped right there. Nowadays, they're doing the same thing with Xbox, right? Like they're just buying every multi-billion dollar company. And now it's become an issue where it's like, oh, you have this like literal trillion dollar player who's like outbidding the billion dollar players and like actually taking over the industry piece by piece. So the reason I think that a lot of these organizations get away with it is like they have deals with the government. Microsoft works with the DoD. So it's like as long as they don't, as long as it's not too fucking apparent, the tech cartels get to roam free. So that's just unfortunately one of the things that I think that's it's like it's sad, but I feel like the deal with the devil's already made. So like they're not going to jump in and stop it anytime soon unless something egregious happens.
Yeah. Ugly.
But I mean,
you're pretty smart.
But I mean, like at that point, when we compare this to our beginning conversation, like we're already like a million times step. We're already a million steps up from like the people that we can even reasonably target. Right. Like Logan Paul, somebody like him is too small potatoes. You can't play with like people like Microsoft. They've already been in, they've already sold in first born. Who gives a shit? You'll never win at that point. So now you're like, you know, if you want to make any change in the world, you got to start from as grassroots as you can.
I agree. Yeah. I'm a big believer in this. Actually, like somebody was asking me, you know, like, is there any investigation you wouldn't do? And I was like, yeah, investigating and leaking like classified documents of my own country. Like, I think mm-hmm. doing real, like deep investigations into like political corruption or deep like investigate. First of all, I think that's terrible because people are so politicized anyway. That's a terrible idea. But I think even investigations into like some of these bigger topics is not a good
right. When you actually become a threat to people
alive.
More powerful than you, that's when
it's not a good. Well, with your government, I mean, your government is like,
yeah, they own you.
You can't
sort of.
Hide from your government. Yeah. You can't. You have no
they
defense
dictate.
Against. Yeah,
bro. You
they
you
dictate what power
you're not
going
to be able to take on
literally.
The U.S. government. It's one of the same things. Like, would you like at this one time? I was like, would you ever look at like the CIA's history of corruption? I'm like, motherfucker, do you know what the CIA does on a daily basis? Mm-hmm. They have the ability
Dude,
to topple
yeah,
small
I,
governments. What?
The people who go after the CIA and like are talking bad about the CIA, I'm like, dude, careful. Like, there's often jokes like, oh, hope you stay safe, da da da. Whenever I do my little investigations into like Logan Paul, and I'm like, dude, Logan Paul's not going to do anything. The big danger is, you know, you're talking about like you're dropping classified CIA documents. Good luck.
It's over. Good luck, like, brother. Imagine if tomorrow, like, imagine just like tomorrow, you had literal documentations that prove a causal link between the Drug Enforcement Agency and the largest drug cartels in Mexico. I would wager a million bucks before you hit the words upload, a shot would fly through your window and you'd be dead, like your brain just splattered over your computer monitor.
No.
You're right. The moment you listen, conspiracy theories, and like, I hate when like conspiracy theorists are given such a bad rap nowadays. Like, there's a lot of dumb conspiracies out there with like flat earths and like, and, you know,
hollow earth.
Exactly. Like Agarthans and shit. But
mole people.
But like, in my opinion, any conspiracy where you follow the fucking money, that's dead on, right? Like, you, there is such a link between like what the CIA and like a lot of these organizations do that are actually highly illegal. But the moment you go around exposing it is the moment you get fucking shot dead. Like, how many people do we know, like Edward Snowden, that exist in the world that have literally like exposed aspects of the government and are not being like captured? Like, a few weeks ago, you guys know this game War Thunder?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
So it's like one of these like mobile game ads, right?
Are you going to talk about the tank information?
I'm going to talk about the fucking F-16, bro. So it's not even just like the tank. Like, on the forums of this one video game, I think because somebody was being proven wrong on like one like vehicle or like one military unit, they just posted leaked documents, like actual classified military documents hardware on the fucking video game forums. So, like, when that happened, immediately in my head, I'm like, okay, is that guy actually still alive? like, wait a minute. Who is this person? How do they have access to that document? Like, we're all here. And then, like, are they still actually alive? Like, is there not somebody breaking in and, like, fucking wasting them?
The government is simultaneously, like, more incompetent and also more powerful than most people think. Like, at the same time, though.
No,
like,
it's all these documents.
I think there was a no-fly list leaked by some, like, random blogger
yeah,
or something.
Yeah,
and the idea was, like, how could this person randomly get this document? Well, it was kind of left poorly secured.
Oh, not but poorly secured, unsecured. It was sitting on an unsecured build server. Yeah.
That's better.
This was, like, on an unsecured build server on, like, some company known as Commute Air. And alongside that, they had, like, a bunch of, like, aerial, like, correspondence that they just had stored unsecure. So they just downloaded it and shared it. And that was whole. So the TSA is pretty f***ing mad, rightfully so, because this one leaked document happened. And they're, like, basically calling up everyone that they've ever, like, sent this list out to. It's like, hey, can you update your security parameters? Like, what the f***? This can't happen again. You're right. There is definitely a lot of incompetence. But before we go into it, I wanted to, like, read you, because you guys didn't know about this, like, War Thunder shit. So I'm going to read you this entire thing. So the F-16A Fighting Falcon, very secret jet. Like, a lot of the information around this should be remain secretive because it's a current, like, use fighter jet. Yeah, apparently War Thunder, like, the fans. All right, let me go down over here. The latest leak involves the F-16A fighter jet and the AIM-120 Advanced Medium Range Air-to-Air Missile. The user, Space Navy 90, wrote on the War Thunder forums, interesting thing I found during my research. During early testing, ARAM testing, you can see how F-16 would equip the weapon. So again, they basically leaked this out to prove their point because they were in the middle of a fucking argument with another user. And they leaked it out just to win an internet fight on this forum.
Dude, you sometimes have to remind yourself that these people on these forums are real people. And they can make really stupid decisions like human beings. you know
what is even stupider? In order to correspond, one of the other users afterwards, a Chinese gamer, leaked the capabilities of their tanks. So if you thought the U.S. government was bad, bro, this motherfucker got
that
sent
guy
to
is dead. That guy's black bag.
Okay, all right, damn.
Yeah, that guy's for sure gone.
That guy, like, yeah, that guy's in, like, a special death camp.
In 2022, that one dude uploaded the manual for the British Challenger 2, like front, like classified manual for their active tank, so they could get a more accurate tank in War Thunder, and like got in a lot of trouble.
I love this game.
It's happened so many times.
This is like the one game where they want so much realism that they actually straight up are committing international illegal
leaking documents of the United States government military.
Yeah, it's like the only time I've ever seen it, right? Like, these people, like, it shows me, like, some of these people have no idea what the fuck could happen to them. Like, you're right, that Chinese guy that leaked their government, like, national, like, secrets, that guy's gone. Not even just gone, dude. Like, you gotta understand, the Chinese know what the fuck is happening in the network space all the time with the firewall.
He's up in one of them balloons.
Yeah, they put him in the balloon so the U.S. anti-air could fucking shoot him down.
Can someone explain that story in, like, 15 seconds? I don't understand what that story was.
I don't even know that story.
Do you guys know about the Chinese balloon story?
Mugu Gai Pan delivered straight from Beijing.
Yeah.
Okay. What it is, man. I've heard a couple of theories.
Don't you get John Cena to
promote his game? Don't you hate on, like, Chinese delivery, dude? I love Chinese delivery.
I love Chinese food and delivery, and also Chinese culture. From what I understand, the official Chinese story is that it's a civilian weather balloon, and then it went off course, which makes sense, right? The second story, which is from the United States government, which I trust, is that it is a spy balloon. And it's a spy balloon that they waited for it to cross the entire continental United States before blowing it up in North Carolina as a way. And the reason they didn't blow it before that was because it was a debris risk, which makes no sense.
Over the ocean? Yeah.
And also, they also said that it doesn't have the capability to collect any sort of valuable information. So, like, why is it a spy balloon if it's not collecting valuable? How is it? Like, there's so many inaccuracies. And also the DOD said that there were multiple Chinese spy balloons that Trump was never told about when he was in office. And, like, it doesn't make any sense. And now there's even more. There's five more around the world, these spy balloons. And here's another one though.
What?
Another explanation. The other explanation is that space isn't real. And in the 80s, China, like other countries that were, you know, developing, sent up satellites. All right. And since space isn't real, they have to use balloons. And the helium has escaped, permeated through the surface of the balloon. So now the balloons are coming down, and that's how we, space is not real. And the satellites are just on balloons.
Got it. I like the last one. No, I had no idea. I just saw a headline from Fox News, the most trusted source of media, saying China wants its downed spy aircraft back, saying it does not belong to the U.S.
I think it's, well, I mean,
true.
Brilliant on Fox.
I like how they label it like it's a spy aircraft. They want their spy plane back. It's good.
Yeah. They want their little Chinese drone back.
Well, like, it's funny with Fox News. Like, they were the same ones freaking out over a power setting on an Xbox for a little bit. So that was...
I love Fox News.
I think it's Fox News that's legally, like, they had to like, explain that they weren't news, but they were entertainment because of Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm.
They did. They had to... In court, Tucker Carlson said in court that he is a satire channel.
Tucker Carlson.
Dude, that's fucking hilarious when, like, in the courtrooms, you just have to tell people, like, no, you shouldn't take us seriously.
It's not real, bro. What?
Satire. I think this is a real legal defense, though, for free speech. You're saying it's a... y'all joke, but, like people use this all the time. It's rhetorical hyperbole, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forget what it's called. But basically, it's like a strategy of saying I was being... So let's say I'm like... Muda's such a bad guy that, and this is like in used in politics a lot, where they're saying like, oh, he's such a bad guy that he's X or Y. Someone will sue you for defamation and you go, no, I'm known for saying outrageous things. There's no way anyone thought I was being truthful. Like, let's say like, I'm like, Muda's so sketchy. He probably has a bunch of kids in his basement or something. And you sue me and you go, hey, I don't have a bunch of kids in my basement. You're defaming me. And I say, no, actually, I say ridiculous stuff all the time. My audience understands I'm not actually accusing you of that. I think that's what they're saying. Not to defend those guys or anything, but I talked to a lawyer about like free speech the other day because I'm very interested in free speech, obviously, for my own reasons. And that's one thing they explained to me. They're like, hey, just so you know, if you're going to say something outrageous, sometimes it makes sense to make it even more outrageous so that nobody can reasonably expect that you're like making like a claim to truth.
Yeah, like if I tell you, I'm like, you can't trust coffee because he's a shape-shifting lizard that'll absolutely like drink the blood.
I'm not
going
to go to sue you for defamation because it's obvious you're not making a real claim.
Yeah. That's how Alex Jones got away with it for 20 years.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's actually right. That's actually true. Right.
He'll call someone a pedophile and a lizard man, and then it's like, well...
Well, I mean, like, come on. He said he was a lizard man, so you can't exactly say that. Yeah, exactly. It's fucking... Interesting defense.
Did you see that whole the Seth the Programmer drama that happened like a week ago? So he went on Keemstar's stream to like defend himself sort of, and they were like, yo, you were sexually harassing minors, and he said, yeah, but it was as jokes. Yeah, but you were like asking them to get naked, and he said, yeah, but it was like as a joke. There was there was no intent to see them naked. Like that was
you can't just like punch someone in the head and be like, yo, it's just a joke.
Right. Like, there comes a point where even if it is rhetorical hyperbole and there's no intent, it's like if you're soliciting nudes with no intent, like that's scary.
That's a very thin defense. I mean, that's obviously, you know, just like you're making up an excuse on the spot. But like a better example is, I looked it up. There's a great example where a newspaper article referred to somebody as the director of butt licking.
What?
And they tried to sue him. They're like, I'm not the director of butt licking. And the guy's like, you can't sue me for defamation. This is a joke. Like, nobody could think that this is real.
Yeah, you're the director of rimming in the National Energy Department. Like, what the?
Yeah.
the thing about it is like, first off, how is it that like, it ties back into like Logan and everything and like the set the programming guy. How is it that you as a content creator kind of like just sit there every day and think to yourself, man, this messed up shit that I did is never going to get exposed at some point. Like,
Going to get exposed as the director of butt licking?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is like, okay, so you know when you like...
No one will ever find out.
Do you guys do the same thing when you talk to somebody on the internet and you write a DM out, right? Like you're in the DMs and you text something and you're like, wait a minute, could this be taken absolutely the wrong way?
Dude, I am so paranoid. Whenever I message anyone, like I reread the DM, I'm like, all right, if they leak this... You know, literally.
Yeah. Like in the DMs, like unless I trust somebody 100%.
Unless it's like close
everyone
friends,
in this room,
obviously.
Yeah, like everyone in this call, like I'll DM you exactly. But if it's like somebody new that I met, I'm always like, this guy might actually just leak a DM. Who knows? They might actually like twist something against
like,
me.
Like, this is so,
right, and you're not even doing anything bad. So imagine if you're actually doing something bad, how paranoid you would be.
Yeah, and these guys are like out there doing the most heinous shit in the world. And then they're like, man, I'll never get caught. And then they wake up one day and it's like, what? Are you
Dude, so like after Seth's drama, speaking of Seth, he messaged me something and like, I was like, oh God, whatever I respond to him is going to end up somehow publicized. So I have to like, you know, decide A, do I want to respond? And B, if I do, you know, how do I do it in a way that's not going to actually like get me in trouble? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's so weird to deal with like any YouTube shit nowadays, or like when it comes to like anybody on the internet, it's like, how do you expect like this stuff not to, it's like anybody that does like a crypto scam, right? It's like, how do you expect like the funniest thing about like any of these scams, like I've talked to so many people who've worked in the development schemes behind the Jake Paul and Logan Paul shit that have been exposing it for me. I'm like, wait a minute. How did these dumbasses not realize that you guys were going to fucking jump on them too and expose? Like, how is it that these people just sit down and wake up every day and realize, man, I'm never going to get caught for my actions? Or this stuff will never come
in. It's especially ironic. You bring up like a really good point. It's especially ironic because most of the people that are willing to become the brown-nosing butt lickers of influencer douchebags are people that are doing it for clout and would betray them in a heartbeat. For class, right? Like, yes. It's so ironic. It's like, the only reason why he's
there
here is the
no
same reason why
thieves,
he would betray.
Dude.
Literally.
Like, there is
oh
no
my
honor
God.
Among thieves, dude. This is, it goes back to anybody. Like
how
like,
many of Mr. Beast's, like, ex-employees tried to expose him for something? A dozen. And none of them held water because there was nothing there. But at the end of the day, that was their whole point.
What do you guys think about him being the Antichrist? No joke, like... I'm not even trying to meme here.
What do I think?
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm waiting for him to dress up like Thanos. Like a pretty nice dress guy. Up like Thanos in his next video and say we need balance and then blind 1,000 people. That's
what
I want to see.
I think that was the most like I don't know like fake controversy ever. I don't actually think people really believe that. I think it was one of those things where like there was this very small contingent of people really reaching. And then most people were just like, yeah, this is stupid. But then people got mad that it became a thing. I don't know. It was like the most I can't believe that was a real. I don't believe anyone actually really believes that.
My thing with the whole Mr. Beast stuff is like a lot of people would look into it and be like, the guy's only doing it to line his own pockets and like donate. I'm like, at the end of the day, bro, you can't be this negative in your life because at least 1,000 people got to see again, dude. Like what?
True.
What is this like level
no, they're
of like?
Not, they're not negative, though, Muda. Here's the thing. When you have someone as big as Mr. Beast and someone as universally viewed positively, if you create a video that is negative, you will get a lot of just people wondering like, oh, is there something I didn't know? So I remember early on, like years ago, I used to see all these videos like Mr. Beast caught in a secret conversation where he, you know, yelled at a guy. And the whole video was clickbait. But these videos would routinely get 500,000 views. And there was a guy who like was dedicated to Carl Jacobs is actually mean in real life. And then people would click on it just to see like, oh, is this real? It was all fake. But the point is that guy would have never made those videos if it didn't get the clicks. So I think most of it's just generated from he's a big guy. He's well liked. People know that if they say something negative, even if the sentiment is like against them, they're still going to get tons of clicks. And so they just do it sort of cynically because they just know they're going to get tons of clicks for it.
And I feel like I think it's kind of the way they see it. They're anonymous online, right? There's no repercussions to their actions. It's like if they don't do it, no one knows they exist. If they do it, people know they exist. It's a win.
Do you know what I think the next big influencer like controversy will be this year? I think CoffeeZilla is going to get caught for scamming people.
Honestly, that would be funny.
Oh my gosh. You want to know why?
Because you're just too good. You're too good to be true.
No. Not even that. It's like recently with this deepfake drama, and it's gotten so good with AI deepfaking technology. I honestly believe there's going to be a scammer out there that'll use your face and your voice and we'll make like some fucking video that gets shared on Telegram that'll have you promoting a fucking ass coin, and people will jump in and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and believe it because you're the one that fucking promoted it.
It is scary, like how some of my audience will say, like, oh man, like CoffeeZilla is the only guy like I would ever like invest in or something like that. And I'm like, no, have you learned nothing? Exactly. The whole point of this is that if I ever could do my job 100%, then I could leave basically saying like, hey, come invest in this, and nobody would invest. And then I would feel like I had truly achieved like my goal, which is just to say, if somebody's an influencer, it doesn't make them an expert in other things. So why are you going to go trust their, you think you know them, but then you're going to go trust them in all these other like weird domains? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But the voice cloning does kind of freak me out. I was playing with something called 11 AI or 11 Labs, which is a voice cloning technology, and it's shockingly good. Like shocking.
Yeah, there's a lot of them now, and they're getting to a point where like their inflections are insane. Like I heard a voice cloning thing that was like literally replicating the breaths that you would take in between each voice. It used to be like a voice cloning was like super hella monotonous, but now it's like you listen to somebody talk in like a voice clone solution. It's like, if I wasn't paying attention, this would be believable.
Yeah, right. Yeah. The whole thing though is just it's just how much time you want to give to it, because you can make convincing deep fakes, like the deep Tom Cruise. They made like a perfect Tom Cruise deep fake. And it's like they can make him say anything. They do it to raise awareness sort of in a positive way, but that could be easily used by actors who have nefarious intentions. Uh-huh. And that's why I make it really clear. Like, I don't do sponsorships. I don't do any of that, because I don't want anyone to ever get confused and think that like I'm going to go promote something, or it's that's like one of my biggest like fears, is that somebody would get like scammed by somebody pretending to be me. It's very worrying.
In the YouTube comment section, all the bots?
Oh yeah, can please join my WhatsApp Telegram group.
I spend so much time deleting bot comments; it's insane.
I just felt like I just want to like turn off the comments, because like there's just every time I jump in, it's like, oh, 50 comments. Wow, 40 of them are like this WhatsApp Telegram group.
Spam. They're like the YouTube comment section, the power that it has in terms of YouTube success, like it's so important. And the amount of time that YouTube has, I think, spent developing a great or a bad product there is just so mismatched. If you look at how good Reddit is versus how bad the YouTube comment section is, you're like, how can YouTube not figure this out? Like a good sorting mechanism to actually get people to care. Because the sad thing about YouTube comments is the worse YouTube comments get, the less people try, and then the worse it gets.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I barely check my comment section anymore, because it's just like a bunch of like the same comments from the last video, just repeated in a slightly different way. And I don't actually get any real feedback from it anymore. It's just kind of nothing. It's so much noise. There's not much signal. So I really wish YouTube would spend like some effort, because I don't know if other people feel this way, but I hardly comment anymore, because I'm like, dude, it's just like nobody reads this. I'm not reading it. I'm not interested in it. There's no real interaction going on. It's just like mostly bots. Yeah. Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, I just tend to stay away from the comment section. It usually just gets filled with like, even when like there is discussion going on, it literally like it's fueled so much by anonymity. Like somebody can just say like outlandish shit, like, there's never really a real discussion going on. It's just like what people want to hear, like echo chambers within their own echo chambers. And I'm just like, I don't even bother like reading it anymore. Like there's no actual, like the thing that I hate about YouTube, and one of the things that I wish was an option, was like, make sure this person has an 80% view time on the video before they can comment. Because it's like,
dude,
sometimes the motherfucker will say some dumb shit in the comment section.
What if you could
section.
Set that up? Like you could say like, hey, you can't set a, like you could, like each creator could set a limit.
That would be so nice.
Yeah, nothing's more annoying than somebody commenting before they've seen the video.
Exactly. Like I make a video and it's like literally in the video I mentioned the arguments this person mentions in the comments they're trying to disprove me on. And it's like, bro, make it past 45 seconds before you let your anger rise in. Then we can talk, okay? Like, that's it. Then we can get into it. Like, I had a dude who, like, I shamed months ago on, like, because now I do this thing where, like, if you say something really stupid, I'm going to screenshot you and I'm just going to post it on Twitter with the fucking, like, username and everything, okay? Like,
Yeah, and then people say, bro, you're harassing, I can't believe it. And it's like, okay, dude, it's their fault.
I'm like, most
they started
came to my comment section they literally publicly. Did. What do you want me to do?
You gotta ignore it.
Yeah,
it's hard. I know firsthand. I've done that before.
No, but bro, there's a power dynamic. You're punching down, bro. But they punched first.
Listen, I've done it before. It's tempting, but it's never worth it. It's never worth engaging.
I agree. It's not worth engaging. Generally, unless you just kind of have a kick out of it. And honestly, if you're having a good time doing it, it's their own fault, and you should feel happy about it. That's my fear.
Like, for me, it's just like, all right, you want to say something dumb? Let's just signal boost a little bit. Who gives a shit? But, like, arguing with somebody, I don't know, you're right, arguing with somebody on the internet is ultimately a waste of time. Like, it's like the Filthy Frank shit, right? Like, people literally, like, waste their day arguing with each other that they've never met. I'm not in the mood to argue with somebody, but if I can, like, laugh at you, sure. Like, that's where I'm going to leave. Because if you're feeling brave enough to comment like that, you should feel brave enough to have it be viewed by everybody.
I completely agree. Yeah. So YouTube used to have a thing where in the comment section, they used to, like, put the verified channels that comment on the top. Right? You remember that? I feel like they used to do that like 4 years ago. Like if you look at the top of every comment section, it would all be like verified channels. And they undid it because a lot of people were complaining saying that, well, you know, I don't like that. It feels like you're not giving all of us equal say, and YouTube ended up undoing it. And now it's just overrun with bots. I feel like if they brought that back, at least some people would not be bots at the top of the comment sections.
I do this one thing where, like, if I'm on YouTube, I go into the video and I always click newest first on the comment section. I don't do top comments. Like, if I'm, like, watching anybody's video, like, if I'm watching Oompy's video, I'm, like, newest first, and I scroll through the first 100 comments to just see the general vibe of the video. And top comments is always flooded by a fucking bot. Like, this one top comment I've been seeing is, like, who hears from TikTok? I'm, like, dude. Stop! Like, YouTube, stop allowing this shit.
That's what I mean. It's their rank. It's their ranking algorithm.
Right. You'll have a comment saying "lol," 18 replies. Okay, and then they're all bots.
Yes.
Well, part of the problem too is it's harder and harder to catch these bots because with the advancements in AI, like, it's an arms race of, you know, credible bots and incredible, like, you know what I mean, incredible like bot catchers. It's like a battle between.
Well, speaking of like AI enhancements, so like I know you're mentioning GPT, like ChatGPT. There's this like.
Wait. Before we get to ChatGPT, boys, I gotta run to the restroom real quick. Can I take a break real quick?
Go for it, 100%.
Yeah. All right, I'll be right back in like 3 minutes or something.
So before we wanted to end it off, so like there was this funny set of circumstances that happened, and I learned about this from Ludwig, right? So Ludwig does this mogul mail stuff where he he'll look at like really serious shit and he'll look at like really like dumb stuff. So there was like this e-girl like Discord leak, right? Like they were just talking mad shit about each other, right? If you've lived in the real world, trust me, people talk shit about each other all the time behind closed doors. It's a reality of the human learning experience.
Truth.
So because they got called out for being different facetious individuals, they made a twit longer apology, right? I think we've reached the peak. I've never seen this with a crypto scammer or anybody.
They should, though.
They use chat. They should, 100%. Bro, they use ChatGPT to write their apology tweet. so
good.
Like, damn,
I believe it.
This is like a really good apology. So somebody just took their fucking apology, ran it through a ChatGPT detection algorithm, and it was like, bitch, you didn't even fucking change a word. You let AI apologize for you. And I was like, this is like peak. I don't give a attitude. And I almost have to respect somebody for it, right? Like, when faced with the chance to be accountable, they wake up and they're like, you know what? I'm going to let artificial intelligence do it for me. The accountability was literally kept up to a few processing, like, seconds in a cloud. It's the wildest shit to me, man.
Yeah, man. It is, like, the future of PR to just run it through a AI-generated, like, solution. An like, AI. Hey, give me the perfect balance of taking no accountability and also taking accountability. Like, that's the funny thing. You can really give it precise, like inputs, and it kind of can create whatever you want. I mean, reality is whatever you want it to be. Like, when I was doing our contract, we were going to send to Dylan Danis to make it go full circle. I wanted to do a why paper instead of a white paper in the contract. And I was like, explain in legal jargon that this is, you know, an important... like basically take a dump on everyone else's white papers, say how our why paper is better, but also explain we stand for nothing. and we never will. And so ChatGPT spins up this realistic sounding like whole like, oh, we really stand for transparency, honesty, and also we want to note that we stand for nothing at all. And it's like,
it was pretty awesome.
You could do that with apologies. You could be like, hey, give me an apology that says that that I mean it and I really care about my fans. But also at the same time, I'm really not sorry about anything I did. Like, you can really do that with artificial intelligence. It's insane.
Yeah.
We're Mudahar guy.
I had to fucking night a little emergency that showed up outside my fucking room. But I got a.
It's okay. He went and he boogied it.
You guys are deep in the episode where people are just checking out left and right.
We're
I really like that. By the way, I really like that idea of yours that you need to watch a video for a certain amount to leave a comment.
I mean, I wish you could pick that idea. I really do, but unfortunately, I never will because it would ultimately be a net negative for the company because their whole business model runs on people interacting like crazy, and that's how videos work algorithmically. But I think for the benefit of the creator, the mental health. Of like responding to somebody who's watching
they don't
your
care at all. They don't care even a little.
They don't give a shit.
No, they don't care.
No, they don't care. Like, I love YouTube where it's like, hey, buddy, you feeling down? After they've like age restricted your video, I'm like,
dude, I just was like leaning back in my chair, like, like just like fell back more than it normally does, and I just freaked out.
Well, yeah. I think it's time we've covered a lot of topics on this episode. Yeah. To be honest with you, I think we went into like a lot of deep.
Yo,
this is why I like having our friends on the show because we can get into a lot of deep discussions versus like, I don't know, people that are usually really quiet. I would say reserved.
Yeah, I don't like those other guys we have on.
I was about to say, let's just name and shame, dude. If we're going to get to it, I mean, okay, Coffee's a lot, top guest, but you know, let's name and shame
Coffee,
everybody
you're
else.
You're absolutely top three, and I think bottom three.
Worst guest,
Matan.
That one guy.
Matan, that one guy.
I like to play both sides. I like to be the best and the worst. That's the best.
No. Maybe next time,
the place
bro.
To be.
Next time,
I think we just had one guest. It was like a total meme. Way.
Yeah, we had
just
one
like
terrible guest. I think everyone else was pretty good.
Oh no,
we had just one. It was a game of words, kid. I'm just gonna name and shame. You said name and shame. I'm just gonna mention it like it is. Boy,
bro, I see his. Yeah, I hate that I see his tweets sometimes. Twitter has this algorithm that it shows me tweets from people I don't follow.
Bro, I hate the for you tweets. Never have I found a tweet that I wanted to fucking.
We need to get I forgot his name already.
It must not be that important if you're forgetting his
it's
name.
It's late in the podcast. I'm getting tired.
Oompa's done, dude. Time for his nap.
Everybody tune back in.
More candy.
Tune in 6 months when we talk about how Slicker got banned on Twitch.
Dude, Jesus Christ. He finally got removed for scamming. Fucking six brilliant months. Job, Twitch.
He apologized to me.
Did he?
Oh, hell yeah.
He said, yo, Oompa, sorry about scamming you, bro.
Bro, okay.
You're a good guy. You didn't deserve
maybe,
it. Really?
Maybe we should get him on to do, like, maybe you guys should help. Maybe you guys should get him on to, like, help the count, like, weed out the people, that, like, in this giant scam project that you guys want to end up doing. Like, see how many people that he can still get into the pool and bring on.
Yeah, maybe he's, like, our guy. He's, like, our way in.
He's like, brother, you are...
He probably knows.
He's like, you already know how to scam people. You're like the apex. We need you to help us out on this project.
My biggest fear with that stuff is like, I'm going to accidentally like talk to somebody who's like working for the feds. And so we're going to be like, hey, this is a scam, okay? And they're going to be like, yeah, that's okay. Go ahead.
And they're like,
anyway, I shared you guys a tweet to end off on if you want to enjoy. This ended up on my feed somehow. It's very cool.
It's Matrix shit, isn't it?
I just see his page. I don't see his tweet.
Yeah.
I didn't send the tweet. I sent the page. I'm an idiot. Okay. Never fear. There it is.
Very professional.
Yeah, I got this.
President of Israel.
Andrew Tate. President of Israel.
Well,
and by the way, that says Andrew Tate in Hebrew on the bottom. By the way,
well, ladies and gentlemen, hopefully you learned, how to not get scammed. Thankfully, we've talked a lot about it, to be honest with you. I want to end this whole thing off by just shaming the people that do get scammed. I feel like if you're dumb enough to follow your favorite influencer to the ends of the earth, in some ways you kind of do deserve it. Okay, simple as that. That's just what I want to kind of end it off on. We talked about a lot of topics that I think were really important, especially free speech related. We definitely got, I kind of like today where like we actually were, all four of us had a different idea and we all like kind of, you know, played off on each other and we all kind of like, you know, called each other out a little bit versus like an entire agreement hour where like You know what I mean? I enjoyed that a lot personally. I do too. Highlighted this episode.
I have to say, I love disagreeing with people I respect.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. You can actually have a real conversation that way versus like an entire hug box, which is where the internet is kind of unfortunately, sadly headed to. But Coffeezilla, one of our favorite guests, Oompaville, Nux Talking, me. Hopefully you all enjoyed today's episode. If you liked what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe. Dislike or dislike it. I am. We are out. Wow. Got that angle. Jesus.